stress, fear, depression, spiritual warfare. Are you weighted down? Do you need refreshing? Welcome. Welcome, everyone, to the Warriors for Christ podcast, where we seek to uplift, edify, and encourage you to be light and salt in a dark and tasteless world with your host, Kyle.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Warriors for Christ podcast. I'm Kyle.
And I'm Sam.
And we are so delighted that you're here with us. Brother Sam, what has the Lord put on your heart for us to get into in
this episode? We're continuing the new heart and the new spirit. We're on part four, and today we're going to look at the problem is the bad heart. God points it out. He tells us what the problem is. It's a bad heart. We must get this new heart. Now, part one, we covered the new heart, the new spirit. Part two, we talked about God examines the heart. When we have a new heart, we're good. We're going to pass the test. When we don't, we're going to fail the test. Part three, we looked at as God examines the heart, he says we aren't to be sinning from the heart. There's not to be sin from the heart. The heart really is your conscience, your thoughts. If you still have sinful thoughts, well, then you don't have that new heart. And now we're going to look at the bad heart and how many people have a bad heart and why we must get the new heart. So in this one, we'll look at the bad heart and those with an uncircumcised heart. And then part five, we'll get into God wants us to have the new heart. And then part six, we'll look at the result.
Okay. Well, with that, I'll open us in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you, O Lord God. We thank you for every blessing you've given us. We thank you, O Lord, for the gift, especially of your Spirit. We thank you for its truth. We thank you for your word, Father. We pray that during this time, Lord, that you reach out and you touch the audience, that you give them ears to hear and eyes to see. And Father, we pray that your truth pierces their hearts, that they are forced into examining themselves and to test whether or not they're truly within your family. Oh, Father, we ask this in the mighty and precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. So we're going to start off back in Genesis chapter 6, back during the time of Noah. You see, God loved his creation. He created them. He wanted them to be fruitful and prosper and multiply. But there was a problem. You see, sin entered into the world, sin through Adam. And when sin entered into the world, well, Kyle, it created a bad heart. What does God say about the people in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5?
The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart.
Now, when you look at that, the thought of his hearts, the thoughts in his heart were evil continually. Now, people say, oh, well, those are just wicked, wicked people. Well, what do you call yourself when you have to confess your sins every night?
They're a sinner.
Just because you have evil thoughts in your heart. Most people don't even think that the thought is even the sin. They think, well, as long as they don't carry it out, it's not sin. You get angry with the impulse of anger, and you think mean things and curse under your breath and your heart and your thoughts.
Jesus says you're guilty of murder.
That's right, guilty of murder. You see another person, you lust. You have a thought of lust that goes through your mind.
You're an adulterer.
That's right. And so, if you have these thoughts and they're you struggle with them daily, weekly, on a current recurring basis, well, then you continue to have evil thoughts in your heart.
And it grieves God.
And it grieves God to the point that he destroys them all because they wouldn't get the new heart. Now, Noah didn't have that problem. You see, Noah found favor in the eyes of God in verse 8. Why did Noah find favor? What does it say about his life in verse 9?
Verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God.
That's right. Noah walked with God. Noah was blameless during his time. He was abiding in the holiness of God. Now, does that mean if you're abiding in the holiness of God, it's impossible to commit a sin? No, it's still possible to commit a sin. And you have that example in David. And we covered it, I think, in one of the previous episodes. But
as we
you don't in, continue.
That's right. In episode 3, don't sin from the heart.
You don't continue in that. That's something if you commit a sin, God can forgive that, but you don't continue in it because you have a different spirit, a different heart. You can grieve the Spirit of God. The danger is if you grieve it too much, it'll be taken away, like what happened to Saul. David pleaded with God not to take away the Spirit, and God didn't. Turning over to Genesis chapter 8 and verse 21.
And when the Lord smelled the pleasing odor, the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I ever again destroy every living creature as I have done.
Now, so God says the intent of man's heart is evil from his youth. We're born with a bad heart. That's why we have to get the new heart. Now, God says he'll never again destroy every living thing. Well, with water, he won't. But we know at the end of the judgment, he'll do it again, but this time with fire. That's why I always tell people, many people jump to conclusions. You have to read everything, all the Word of God, to make sure you're getting the proper context. Flipping over to Numbers, chapter 15.
Which verse?
Verse 39 and 40.
39 and 40. And it shall be to you a tassel to look upon and remember all the commandments of the Lord, to do them, not to follow after your own heart and your own eyes, which you are inclined to go after wantonly. So you shall remember and do all my commandments and be holy to your God. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God.
So the key is God doesn't want us to follow our own heart. You see, the heart, the bad heart, that we need to get a new heart. Now, earlier in chapter 15, a person went and they gathered some sticks on the Sabbath. And so this person who gathered sticks on the Sabbath, in verse 32, they brought them to Moses, and God told Moses to do what with them in verse 35?
And the Lord said to Moses, the man shall be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp.
Now, we've talked about the rebellion of Korah in other places. I'm just going to highlight it here. When you move into chapter 16, the people get mad after they stone the person. And so you have three leaders, along with 250 other nobles, rise up. You have Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And they rise up against Moses. And they go, along with 250 other leaders, this is in verse 1 and 2 of chapter 16, and they gather before. And do they claim that they're a holy people of God in verse 3?
They do. They claim it.
That's right. They say...
And they assembled themselves together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, you have gone too far, for all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourself above the assembly of the Lord?
So they call themselves a holy people. They say God is with them. So Moses says, okay, verse 5. Tomorrow morning, Yahweh will show who is his, who is holy, and he will bring him near to himself, the one whom God will choose. He will bring him near to himself. So Moses is like, all right, listen, I'm not going to argue with you. We'll let God decide who's holy and who's righteous before him. Because remember, these people are like, Moses, you're wrong. We are holy. We're righteous. Who are you? So to not spare, God goes through and he does a couple things. First, God goes through and he causes the earth to open and he swallows, the people whole. And, it's quite the sight. And that's in, where was that?
It was, when the ground came and opened up.
Yeah, that's in verse 26. He says, get away from the tents. Verse 27, right? Get away from their families. Yep. And then after that, in verse 32, verse 31 and 32, the ground opens up. It swallows them whole and their households, and they all go down alive into Sheol. And then after that, the 250 people, the leaders, were also offering incense because he says, right, offer your incense and we'll see who God accepts. And verse 35, fire came down from heaven and consumed all of them, and they all perished. And even after that, you would think that the people would say, okay, we're wrong, you're right, We are not holy. God has chosen. They continue to rebel. In verse 41, on the very next day, they grumble against Moses, and now they're trying to blame Moses, that Moses is the cause of the death of the Lord's people, that it's not them and their sin, but that it's Moses. And so then the plague breaks forth, and many of them start dropping dead.
Yep. And but for Aaron taking his censer and running out there and stopping it, they would have perished as well.
That's right. And that's as you keep reading through the rest of the chapter. So I just want to point that out, because rebellion of Korah comes up a lot, and people don't understand. These were people that were so convinced in their mind. They said, yeah, let's go before God. Let's go before God and let God choose who is his. Well, they failed. They didn't pass. And even after several examples of God demonstrating who he chose by opening the earth and swallowing people alive and sending fire from heaven and consuming people, which isn't normal. These are not normal things. The people continued to rebel and not believe that they could possibly be unholy. Well, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. Don't tell me I'm not a Christian. Okay, you're going to go to your death, eternal death because of it. Deuteronomy 29. Again, God says what the problem is. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 4 through 5. What does God say the problem is with the people?
But to this day, the Lord has not given you a mind to understand, or eyes to see, or ears to hear. I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out upon you, and your sandals have not worn off your feet.
So here, God tells them, He has not given you a heart to know me, nor eyes to see, nor ears to hear. They still had a bad heart. Now, in 1 Chronicles, I want to go to 1 Chronicles chapter 28. And here, King David is speaking. He wants something to be given.
1 Chronicles
chapter 28, verse 9.
And you, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands every plan and thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever.
He'll reject you forever. Because again, we covered as we looked at earlier, you know, God tries the hearts and the thoughts. That's what God looks at. And again, it's repeated here. You know, previous part two episode, I didn't cover every single part, just some verses. But here he points it out. David wants Solomon to serve him with a good heart. And not only that, he even prays and asks in another passage to give his son a perfect heart so that he'll always, you know, keep the commands and obey the voice of God. But if you don't, if you seek him, he'll let you find him. But if not, he'll forsake you forever. Now, we know, unfortunately, Solomon, did he endure?
He did not.
No, he didn't. Now, if you go back to 1 Kings chapter 11, it actually talks about the downfall of Solomon. So in 1 Kings chapter 1, what did Solomon have? A lot of what?
11 verse 1. Mm-hmm. Now King Solomon loved many foreign women, the daughter of Pharaoh, and Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonian, and Hittite women.
That's right. And they were from nations that God had warned them that you shall not associate with them.
You shall not enter into marriage with them, neither shall they with you, for surely they will turn away your heart after other gods.
Oh, they'll turn away your heart. But did Solomon hold fast to God, or did he hold fast to his wives?
He held fast to his wives.
Oh, in Solomon, he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives, what did his wives do in verse 3?
And his wives turned away his heart.
Oh, now we just read earlier, if your whole heart is not devoted to God, then he will forsake you and reject you forever.
Well, he clung to those he loved instead of clinging to God with his heart.
That's right. You know, it's kind of like what Jesus said in Luke chapter 14, verse 26, unless a man hate father, mother, spouse, son, daughter, brother, sister, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Most people don't understand that. Well, if the family is still in darkness, you are not to desire the things that they desire or to love to spend time doing those things because they're dwelling in darkness and wickedness. They'll turn your heart away from the devotion to God. If they come into God in light, then they're part of the eternal family of God. And there's a blessing there. There's a unity and a faith. But since Jesus said, I came to bring not peace, but a sword to a man's family, to divide. Members of a man's family will be his enemies because darkness and light are divided. When darkness doesn't come to light, they'll start to persecute the light because they don't like their sins being pointed out. As Jesus said, the world hates me because I testify against it that its deeds are wicked. So Solomon, his heart was turned away. What does it say in verse 4?
For when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father.
So he didn't have a heart wholly devoted as the heart of his father David. Now David did commit a sin. That's right. He committed a sin. He lived his whole life blameless, as the Bible talks about, and he committed a sin. Solomon turned away. David, and he lived in it.
David did repent.
That's right. Solomon didn't.
Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. So Solomon did, this is what you never want to hear when you read through the Kings about your kingdom. So Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and did not wholly follow the Lord as David his father had done.
It's wholly follow. Now, again, he did this in verse 8 for his foreign wives who burned and sacrificed to God. So it doesn't necessarily say that he was doing the same thing, but he allowed it. He tolerated it.
He went after
it. He probably participated in some, but it doesn't say he didn't stop serving God. He did both. Now, in verse 9, what does he say?
And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice.
So he says in verse 11, what is he going to do?
Therefore, the Lord said to Solomon, since this has been your mind, and you have not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom from you and will give it to your servant.
And the only reason why he delayed it was because of David, right, the righteous, his righteous father. All right, moving on, I want to go to Psalm chapter 14, verse 1 through 3.
The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is none that does good. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any that act wisely, that seek after God. They have all gone astray. They are all alike corrupt. There is none that does good. No, not one.
And this is what's quoted, some of these passages. Same thing that quote comes from Romans chapter 3, verse 9 and verse 10 and 11 that many people have heard in church. It says, there's none righteous. No, not even one. There's no one who understands, no one who does good, no one who seeks God. All have turned aside. They become useless. There's none who, no one who does good, not even one. And it goes on, these people don't do any good. All they do is sin. Well, this is how everyone's born into the world. And yet people continue to quote that. Well, that's the fool. That's the fool in darkness who doesn't know God.
Doesn't have a new heart.
As you keep reading into chapter 15, it talks about the righteous man who walks in integrity, works righteousness. He speaks truth from the heart. He doesn't slander with his tongue. He does no evil to a neighbor. Doesn't sin. He says, that man's righteous. He'll dwell and abide in the tent in the dwelling of God. Not the fool, not the wicked man who doesn't do any good, who's not righteous, but unrighteous. And but yet many people, they quote different passages and they quote prophecy of doom on their head because they quote it in ignorance. And until they come out of the ignorance into the true knowledge of God, they'll perish. They will perish in that ignorance. Let's turn over to Psalm chapter 78, verse 5 through 8.
He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God.
So they had a bad heart and a bad spirit. They were unable to keep the commandments of God, and so God destroyed them. It's kind of what we covered earlier in Deuteronomy chapter 29. They didn't have a heart to know him. Until you get a new heart and a new spirit, you'll be destroyed. You don't know God. You may think you do, but you're unable to keep the commandments. You're just like faithless Israel who is unable to please God. we must not be that person with that bad heart. We have to get the new heart. As you keep reading in chapter 78, later on, what does he say in verse 28 to 37?
And he let them fall in the midst of their camp, all around their habitations. And they ate and were well filled, for he gave them that what they craved.
And this was the quail.
Yes. But before they had sated their craving, while the food was still in their mouths, the anger of God rose against them, and he slew the strongest of them and laid low the picked men of Israel. In spite of all this, they still sinned. Despite his wonders, they did not believe.
Continued in sin.
So he made their days vanish like a breath and their years in terror.
Now, when he killed them, did they say, oh, we need to repent. God's killing us.
Yeah, when he slew them, they sought for him. They repented and sought God earnestly. They remembered that God was their rock, the Most High God, their Redeemer.
So when God started killing them and taking their lives, the remnant that he left over said, oh, we better turn to God. God's serious here. We can't continue to sin. He's going to destroy us. But did they truly turn with a humbled heart in verse 36?
But they flattered him with their mouths.
They deceived him with their mouths.
They lied to him with their tongues. Their heart was not steadfast toward him. They were not true to his covenant.
And so that's the thing, Kyle. You can serve God and turn to him and seek him, but if it's not in truth, if it's not with a new heart, it's in deception. As the Word of God says, these people pretend obedience, because until you're clean on the inside, you're still corrupt. You must have a new heart and a new spirit. These people had the bad heart and the bad spirit. They were not new, even though they're convinced in their mind, Kyle. They're convinced. They thought they turned to God, but they didn't. It was in vanity.
They did not keep in mind his power or the day when he redeemed them from the foe, when he wrought his signs in Egypt and his miracles in the fields of Zoan.
Yeah. Let's flip over to chapter 81 and read verse 10 through verse 13.
I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people did not listen to my voice. Israel would have none of me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways.
So the people didn't listen. The people still had a stubborn heart. They continued to walk in their way. They didn't obey. They didn't obey the voice of God.
Follow their own counsel.
Exactly, their own counsel. They thought they had proper counsel, but they didn't. You see, Kyle, it's this bad heart that results in the destruction of people, even when they're turning and they think they're turning to God. It's in deception. There are so many people today that continue to turn to God in deception. Just like we covered in the episode of Jeremiah, don't trust in deceptive words. There are so many people who go to worship before God, but it's all in vain because they've been led to God with deceptive words. Psalm chapter 95, verse 7 to the end of the chapter.
For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Oh, that today you would hearken to his voice. Harden not your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day at Massah in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who err in heart, and they do not regard my ways. Therefore I swore in my anger that they should not enter my rest.
God swore in his anger that they shall not enter his rest. Now, we cover a lot of this in the book of Hebrews, chapter 3 and 4. A lot of these words, it's quoted from here. And their unbelief, it was accused to their disobedience and their continued sin was accused to them as unbelief. You still disobey? So sin is in the heart. Sin hardens the heart. You have to get a new heart. If you have sin, don't think you have a new heart. Sin hardens the heart. You cannot have sin. This is the danger of having a bad heart, Kyle. It results in people's death. Let's flip over to Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 23 to 25.
Like the glaze covering an earthen vessel are smooth lips with an evil heart. He who hates dissembles with his lips and harbors deceit in his heart. When he speaks graciously, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart.
See, these people have a bad heart. He's like, just like you can take an earthen vessel and you can overlay it with silver. But that's no different than burning lips and a wicked heart. You see, it's an earthen vessel. It's just on the outside, it's plated with a precious metal, but on the inside, it's just earthen. It's still not a honorable vessel. It's no different than burning lips and a wicked heart. The person who hates, they disguise the hate that they have with their lips. The problem is they still lay up deceit in their heart. They'll speak graciously to you, but God says, don't believe them. They have seven abominations in their heart. You have to get a new heart. Doesn't matter if people speak kind words to you. They speak good things to you and blessings. If it's not in the heart, if they still have sin in the heart, don't listen. Deceit is in their heart. Do not believe them. Let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 6. We've covered this recently, but we're going to just again highlight this again. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9 through 10.
And he said, go and say to this people, hear and hear, but do not understand. See and see, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people fat and their ears heavy and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed.
So God is actually saying, render the hearts insensitive. Let their eyes be covered. Let their ears become dull so that they won't see, that they won't hear. Now, these were people that were seeking God, but not in truth. The people who were serving God, worshiping God, doing all these things, and God rejects them. So much so, he's like, I'm done with you. I'm so much done with you, I'm going to blind your eyes. I am going to deafen your ears. I am going to harden your heart. I'm going to make it so that you cannot find the truth, so that you will not be healed, that you will be destroyed. That was the will of God. He gave them opportunity. Now, if you listen to the book of Isaiah that we did in the beginning, he called them his son, a faithful son that rebelled. He struck to try to get his attention, but he didn't come into obedience. So he says, I have nowhere else to strike you. I will now destroy you, you illegitimate, because he didn't heed to the discipline of God. And most people, but I'm always going to be, the fact that I'm disciplined proves that I'm a son. No, you haven't become an obedient son. You're an illegitimate son because you never came into the discipline of the Lord. Your crooked ways were never made straight. You're still on the wide path that leads to destruction, not the narrow path that leads to life. And then there's several passages that quotes this. And we cover them in the eyes and the ears, but you'll find it in Acts chapter 28, verse 27. You know, Jesus repeats it in John chapter 12. Verse 37 to 40. Also, Jesus repeats it in Matthew chapter 13, verse 12 to 15. I'm not going to go through those now. We covered them in the other episode. But again, this is a prophecy that was repeated in the New Testament. Then again, Isaiah chapter 29, saying what the problem is, 29:13, there's a problem with their heart.
Yep.
This is the vain worshipers.
And the Lord said, because this people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips while their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment of men learned by rote.
So again, these are people, they go to worship God. It's just, they don't, it's all vain. They still have a bad heart. This is why you have to have a bad heart. You cannot worship God with a bad heart. You think you're doing all the right things that the people of Isaiah thought they were doing, that Isaiah speaks against, but they didn't have truth. And again, Jesus quotes this in Matthew chapter 15, verse 8, and talks about the vain worship. When you continue to look at the people of Isaiah, the bad heart that they had, what does he say in chapter 44, verse 18?
They know not, nor do they discern, for he has shut their eyes so that they cannot see, and their minds so that they cannot understand. No one considers, nor is there knowledge or discernment, to say, half of it I burned in the fire, I also baked bread on its coals, I roasted flesh and have eaten, and shall I make the residue of it an abomination?
So he's talking about they have idol worship, but back in verse 18.
They know not, nor do they discern.
They don't know, and they don't understand.
For he has shut their eyes, so they cannot see.
Who shut their eyes?
God did.
God did.
And their minds, so they cannot understand.
That's right, their hearts. He shut their heart or their minds, so they cannot understand. This is what God does to a people when a people does not respond to him in humility. The bad heart has to get removed. And Isaiah chapter 55, verse 7-9.
Let the wicked forsake his way.
And I actually start in verse 6.
Oh, okay. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
Yeah, so here, you know, God wants us to seek him. The problem is it has to be with a good heart. You see, you have to forsake your way. You have to forsake your thoughts. You have to realize that only the way of God is the way that leads to prosperity, the ancient way, the ancient path. You have to return to God, and he'll have compassion. God wants to abundantly pardon our sin, just as we covered in the previous episode of Isaiah, when we looked at Isaiah chapter 1. He wants to take your sins and make them white as snow and white like wool. But there's conditions. Go listen to that episode and find out what the conditions are. We're highlighting some of them, but the problem is the thoughts, the heart. You see, until your thoughts are God's thoughts, your thoughts are not his thoughts. Your ways are not his ways. See, as far, high as the heavens are above the earth, God's ways and thoughts are higher than yours.
Go back to verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near.
Now, how do we get our thoughts like God's thoughts? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. See, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, God wants us to know his word and his things. In chapter 2, verse 9, it says, things, just as it is written, things which the eye is not seen and the ear is not heard and which have not entered into the heart of men, all that God has prepared for those who love him. God wants to put it in your heart. He wants you to see. He wants you to hear. But you see, there's a problem. You have to get a new heart and a new spirit. Verse 10, for to us, God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Who among men knows the thoughts of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now, what's the only way to know the thoughts of God? If the Spirit of God is the only one that knows the thoughts of God, then
you have to have the Spirit.
Yeah, so what does it say in verse 12?
Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God, that we might understand the gifts bestowed on us by God.
That's right. God wants to bestow those things. He wants to show us and teach us, but you have to have the Spirit of God. If you don't have the Spirit of God, your eyes will always be closed, your ears will not hear, you will not understand, you will not perceive, and you'll never be able to receive the healing that God wants to give you and the promise.
You can only commune with him by the Spirit.
Correct. Let's go back to Jeremiah. I want to go to Jeremiah chapter 7, and I want you to read verse 24 for me.
But they did not obey or incline their ear, but walked in their own counsels and the stubbornness of their evil hearts, and went backward, not forward.
You see, they still had a bad heart. They went backwards and not forward. Now, when you say, okay, this bad heart that they had, well, what was the problem? Well, what does he say if you back up earlier in chapter 7, in verse 3 through 7? What does he say?
Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will let you dwell in this place. Do not trust in these deceptive words, this is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. For if you truly amend your ways and your doings, if you truly execute justice one with another, if you do not oppress the alien, the fatherless, or the widow, or shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not go after other gods to your own hurt, then I will let you dwell in this place, in the land that I gave of old to your fathers forever.
So God examines. You see, you have to amend your ways and your deeds. You cannot continue to have the same deeds. You have Amen. To get a new heart. You have to be able to repent, a repentance from the heart. You have to be able to practice justice. It's righteousness and justice that God wants us to be able to do. When you flip over and you look at chapter 8 of Jeremiah, he continues to speak to them. You see, God doesn't want people to die. He wants them to live. But the problem is, it's not God's choice, Kyle. It's man's choice. Every man has a choice. It's whether or not he believes in faith of what God wants to do. What does God say in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 3?
Death shall be preferred to life by all the remnant that remains of this evil family in all the places where I have driven them, says the Lord of hosts.
You see, God says death will be chosen rather than life. It's their choice. The problem is they won't choose life. They won't put their faith in God. So God says to them, he wants them to repent. But what does he say the problem is in verse 4 through verse 6?
You shall say to them, thus says the Lord, when men fall, do they not rise again? If one turns away, does he not return?
Does he not repent? You see, people think, oh, but I turned away. But you turned away and you did it again. That's not repentance. You have to turn away, but these people turn away, but then they don't repent, and they go back and do it again.
Why then has this people turned away in perpetual backsliding? They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return. I have given heed and listened, but they have not spoken aright. No man repents of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turns to his own course like a horse plunging headlong into battle.
Yep, they just don't repent. People don't know what it means to repent. They have a false sense of repent. Oh, it's you think differently, but you'll still do the same thing. No, that's not what God defines repentance as. You see, in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 1, again, what does he say about their heart? The sin of Judah is written down with an iron stylus with a diamond point. It is engraved upon the tablet of their heart. You see, their heart is bad. It's engraved in their heart. Until you get a new heart, the sin is engraved in stone with a diamond point. You have to get a new heart. What does he say about the man? As you read, starting in verse 5, who's the man that's cursed?
Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his arm, whose heart turns away from the Lord.
That's right. That person is cursed. Now in verse 7, it says, blessed is the man who trusts in Yahweh, whose trust is Yahweh. He will be like a tree planted in the water. It extends its roots by a stream. He will not fear when heat comes, but its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in the years of drought, nor cease to yield its fruit. You see, even when calamity comes, even when there's a drought, somehow he's still able to be green, and somehow he's still able to yield his fruit. But again, what's the problem, Kyle, in verse 9?
The heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately corrupt. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the mind and try the heart to give to every man according to his ways.
That's right.
According to the fruit of his doings.
According to the fruit of their deeds. So, the problem is, God says in verse 13, O Yahweh, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you will be put to shame. Those who turn away on the earth will be written down because they have forsaken the fountains of living water, even Yahweh. You see, God wants to bring healing. He wants to bring salvation. But the people wouldn't listen. You know, and turning over it to chapter 23, verse 17, we continue to see the problem with their heart.
They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, it shall be well with you. And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you. For who among them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to perceive and to hear his word, or who has given heed to his word and listened?
Now they tell the people that they're going to have peace.
Behold, the storm of the Lord, wrath has gone forth. A whirling tempest, it will bust upon the head of the wicked.
That's right. But the people say that they're going to have peace, but they still walk with a bad heart. They have a bad heart. Now, God says that these leaders, these church leaders, in verse 22, if they'd stood in the counsel of the Lord, what would they have done?
But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have proclaimed my words to my people, and they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings.
Yep. All right, let's flip over to Zechariah chapter 7, verse 11 to 13.
But they refused to hearken and turned a stubborn shoulder and stopped their ears that they might not hear. They made their hearts like adamant, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Therefore great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. As I called, and they would not hear, so they called, and I would not hear, says the Lord of hosts. And I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations, which they had not known. Thus the land they left was desolate, so that no one went to and fro, and the pleasant land was made desolate.
So it says the people refused to repent. They had a stubbornness. They wouldn't let their ears listen. They made their hearts as hard as flint. So they could not hear the law. They could not hear the words of Yahweh that were spoken by his Spirit. You see, the Spirit of God was given to all the prophets, just as we had read earlier. Who knows the ways of God but the Spirit of God and those who have the Spirit of God? There were righteous people. Isaiah had it. Jeremiah had it. Zechariah had it. But there's always been few. They spoke. They spoke the truth. But the multitudes, the many, would not have it. They would not listen. They would not be converted. They would not be healed. And so all they got from God was his wrath. The physical here, and then the eternal to come on the last day of judgment. Turning over to Hebrews to look at the example of what God says about Israel in the New Testament. And yet the example that's given is a warning to us. A warning to us. Now first, starting in Hebrews chapter 3, we're going to find out what God says about Israel, because they had a problem. What does God say and warn them in verse 6, what does he say about us?
Hebrews 3, verse 6, but Christ was faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house if we hold fast our confidence and pride in our hope.
Okay, so if we hold fast our confidence and boast of hope firm to the end, then we're of Christ's house. Mm-hmm. Now, the Spirit says, it's a warning. The Spirit warns in what? In verse 7 and 8.
Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today when you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. On the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years.
So was God angry with them?
He was provoked with that generation, and he said they always go astray in their hearts.
Did they say they knew him?
They have not known my ways, as I swore in my wrath. They shall never enter my rest.
Okay, but Kyle, that's Israel. That doesn't apply to us, does it?
Take care, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God.
That falls away from the living God. Well, Kyle, what is it that hardens the heart? What is it that deceives the heart?
But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin.
So if we've become a partaker of Christ, are we commanded to endure?
For we share in Christ, if only we hold our first confidence firm to the end,
So
while it is said.
So if you sin in verse 17, what happens?
And with whom was he provoked 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness?
So God took their life. So they could not enter because of what again in verse 18?
Because of disobedience. And to whom did he swear that they should never enter his rest but to those who were disobedient?
And disobedient is also called what in verse 19?
Verse 19. Unbelief. So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief.
Unbelief. You see, people say, I believe. Do you still disobey? Well, then God says you don't. And again, this is speaking to us. Did we have the same word that was preached to them, preached to us?
Yes.
What does he say in chapter 4, verse 1 and 2?
Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest remains, let us fear lest any of you be judged to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message which they heard did not benefit them, because it did not meet with faith in their hearers.
See, they didn't have faith. They didn't understand the gospel that was preached. It's the same today. Many people don't understand the same gospel. What does he say in verse 6?
Since, therefore, it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience.
So because of disobedience. You see, disobedience is what causes people to fail to enter, because they won't come to God to get the new heart. They're just being stubborn and rebellious.
Again, he sets a certain day. Today, saying through David so long afterward in the words already quoted, today when you hear his voice, Do not harden your hearts.
Do not harden your hearts. So again, there's a call that we need to be diligent. We need to be diligent, Kyle. What does it say in verse 11 and 12?
Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, that no one fall by the same sort of disobedience.
So we got to make sure that we don't fall through the same example of disobedience. But you see, the Word of God, it's living, active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit, both joints and marrow, and it's able to judge the thought and intentions of the heart. When people submit and humbly submit to the Word of God and let the Spirit of God work, it divides. It exposes sinful thoughts. You come in humility. You fall on your knees before God, realizing that you're still a wretch. You haven't been changed and converted. You have to get rid of the bad heart. Until you get rid of the bad heart, you're no different than Israel. You're going to be judged and condemned.
That's right.
I want to look at some passages from 2 Peter and 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14. And 2 Peter, and again, this is talking about people who just cannot, they still have the bad heart. Now, if you haven't listened to the episode that we did on 2 Peter and you don't really understand the full message of that book, go listen to that because that gives you full context because we're just jumping here in the middle, but you really got to listen to everything. So here you have, there's many people who God says he's going to destroy. The problem is they blaspheme God. They don't realize that sinners will be destroyed. You can't continue to live as a sinner. You have to live as a righteous man, a godly man. So in verse 13, he says, these people will receive the wages of the unrighteousness that they've done. The problem is they count it a pleasure to feast with you in the daytime. They fellowship with the quote Christian church. Many of them are leaders of the Christian church. The problem is God says they're stains, they're blemishes. They feast with you in deception as they carouse with you. And in verse 4, they have a problem.
Yeah, or verse 14. They have eyes full of adultery, insatiable for sin. They entice unsteady souls. They have hearts trained in greed. Accursed children.
That's right. The problem is these people are unable to cease from sin. Now, in the eyes of God, they have eyes full of adultery. They cannot stop sinning. And yet they entice other unstable people because they follow them. The problem is they don't realize that their heart is still trained in greed. Until you get the new heart, you're an accursed child. You see, you've forsaken the right way. You've gone astray. You've done the same thing that Balaam. Now, Balaam was a prophet. He spoke the words of God. He saw that he was pleasing to God. He continued to prophesy and speak truth. The problem is he's a spring without water, a mist driven by a strong storm. You see, these people promise others something in verse 19. What do they promise people, Kyle?
They promise them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption.
They still have a bad heart.
That's right. For whatever overcomes a man, to that he is enslaved.
Now, some of these people, have they escaped something?
For if after they have escaped the defilements of the world, through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overpowered. The last state has become worse for them than the first.
So they had known the way of righteousness, but it says it would be better that they had not known it.
That's right.
What does he say in verse 21?
For it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them.
But they fulfilled the proverb.
It has happened to them according to the true proverb, the dog turns back to his vomit and the sow is washed only to wallow in the mire again.
All right, I want to cover a couple of quick highlights of the uncircumcised heart, and then we'll wrap up and we'll be done with this series, because again, the bad heart is also referred to as the uncircumcised heart. So if you go back to Leviticus, in Leviticus chapter 26, verse 40 to 42.
But if they confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers in their treachery, which they committed against me, and also in walking contrary to me, so that I walked contrary to them and brought them into the land of their enemies. If then their uncircumcised heart is humbled, and they make amends for their iniquity, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob, and I will remember my covenant with Isaac, and my covenant with Abraham, and I will remember the land.
So he'll remember them if they fix their uncircumcised heart. If they make amends for their iniquity. Mm-hmm. You see, they cannot continue in the iniquity. You have to turn from it. You have to get a circumcised heart. Their heart was uncircumcised. Flipping over to Jeremiah chapter 4. In Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 4, he says, circumcise yourselves to Yahweh. Remove the foreskins of your heart, men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. If you don't, what does he say he's going to do?
Lest my wrath go forth like fire and burn with none to quench it because of the evil of your doings.
Because of the evil of your deeds. Again, they didn't have a circumcised heart. They had a uncircumcised heart. That's a problem. What does he again say about their heart in verse 14 of Jeremiah chapter 4?
O Jerusalem, wash your heart from wickedness, that you may be saved. How long shall your evil thoughts lodge within you?
You see, God wants to save you. The problem is you have to get the new heart. You have to get it cleansed of all evil. You have to get all the wicked thoughts cleansed. Until that happens, you cannot be saved through faith, because you deny the power of God if you aren't accepting this truth. Again, in Jeremiah chapter 9, talking about the issue of their heart, go ahead and read verse 23 to 26.
Okay. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practice steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will punish all those who are circumcised but yet uncircumcised. Egypt, Judah, Edom, the sons of Ammon, Moab, and all who dwell in the desert that cut the corners of their hair, for all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel is uncircumcised in heart.
You see, he likens the wicked nations around that were uncircumcised to the very people that were physically circumcised, but again, uncircumcised of heart. God says he's going to punish them. He's going to punish them. Even though they're circumcised, they're uncircumcised of heart. You see, God delights in justice and righteousness. These are the things that God delights in. But you cannot perform those things until you receive of a new heart. Again, in Acts chapter 7 and verse 51, Stephen, when he's quoting the true gospel here, and people get offense to what Stephen spoke, Stephen called them what they were in chapter 7, verse 51. What does he say about them?
You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you.
You see, those with an uncircumcised heart, they don't realize it. They claim to be believers in God. They claim to be a people of God. But God says, no, you resist the Holy Spirit. You still have an uncircumcised heart. That's why we must get a new heart, a circumcised heart. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul again speaks about this in verse 18. He says, was any man called when he was already circumcised? He is not to become uncircumcised. Has anyone been called in uncircumcision? He is not to be circumcised. He's talking about just the physical, outwardly. Now, the reality is the outward circumcision is nothing. What matters in verse 19?
For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but keeping the commandments of God.
There you go, keeping the commandments of God. But we know that that can only happen if you have a circumcised heart. In Philippians chapter 3, in verse 2 through 3, Paul warns. He says, beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers. Who are the dogs? Who are the evil workers? They're the false circumcision. But we are the true circumcision. Who are the true circumcision in verse 3?
For we are the true circumcision who worship God in spirit and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh.
Father, we thank you for your word, O God. You are so clear. We must get the new heart and the new spirit. For with a bad heart, we are men condemned, sin still dwelling in the heart. We cannot be free. We have wicked thoughts, evil thoughts within us. We prove that there were with a wicked man, the man with the uncircumcised heart. We know that the Spirit of God is the only thing that can give us a circumcised heart, the new heart that's discussed in Romans chapter 2 at the end. Father, I pray that as people listen to your word, your Spirit will move and convict them of the sin that still dwells within them, that they can get a new heart and a new spirit to be free and amend their ways and have true repentance. For those who have come in faith and are walking in the freedom and the glory of God, practicing righteousness and truth, abiding in the love of God and in the holiness, proving the will of God, all that which is good, acceptable, perfect. I pray that they continue to hold and cling fast to Jesus and to you, O God. and to walk and abide in the Spirit until the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, faithfully laboring in the fields that are ripe for harvest. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We hope this weekly program helped rekindle your zeal to know, love, and serve Christ day by day. If you enjoyed the program, consider subscribing and sharing with your friends. Thanks for listening.